Because a bunch of the things that were shared just really fall right in line with what I felt the Lord was laying on my heart. And I just want to honor that. And I get really excited when that kind of confirmation starts happening. And it's really exciting from this perspective, because it's like, ooh, you don't know. Well, like, hey, that's great that you're sharing that, but you don't know how this fits in. Hey, and you don't, oh, yay. You know, so I get excited. I'm also excited because as I was preparing, I was a little bit saying to the Lord, kind of, oh, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure you want me to speak on this? Because I've spoken on this before a little bit, and I want to care for us, and sometimes some of the things that I share are a little bit hard, and it's like, so please know that, I'll say this a few times as I'm sharing, I'm talking to myself just as much as anyone, and I don't say that as a cliche, understand, and I don't say it as a way of being able to get away with stuff. It's really true. I once heard that we shouldn't preach on something that we haven't walked through and worked out in our own lives already. But then my problem with that thinking is I wouldn't preach on hardly anything then, because I have so much to work through and walk out. And just when I think I've walked it out fully, the Lord shows me an area in my life where I haven't walked it out yet. Or, yay, Lord, I'm further than I've ever been, but I've got so far to go. And so I wouldn't be preaching on anything. But I do believe that if we are going to teach or preach, we should, the thing that we're preaching or teaching about or sharing with others, counseling others with, is something that we're willing to walk out and that we are walking out ourselves. And so that place of vulnerability and this understanding of, hey, I don't got it all together either, you know, and I need to walk this out. And so I'm not claiming to have it all together. I'm not claiming that I have walked it out fully already, but I'm willing. It's kind of like I say about prayer. A good rule of thumb for prayer is never pray for someone else what you're not willing to pray for yourself. And so when you pray, when you're praying for someone who is turned away from the Lord and they just need a good shaking, and you pray a prayer kind of like, oh, Lord, do whatever it takes in their life to bring them back, you need to be willing to pray that prayer over yourself as well. And Lord, wherever I'm not following you, do whatever it takes to bring me back. Right? We need to be willing to pray that out for ourselves. Okay. This kind of was birthed out of a conversation I had with someone this week. And I've talked with this person many times. I know it's no one sitting here, by the way, just if you're trying to, did I talk to Kevin this week? And just so you know, too, I was thinking about this, too. I'll get to that in a second, if I remember. But I can see, as I was working through this in my head, and this doesn't always happen, as you know, sometimes it's like I have a verse and that's it. But actually, I actually have quite a bit written down, like, already. And as I was working through this in my heart and in my head and working through it in my soul and talking to God about it in my spirit and all that, I could see, oh, if I say that, that's going to relate to this person. Because we're a small body here. It's like Randy, if you've ever listened to Randy preaching and teaching, and I think he shared this when he was here too. When we have such a small group, it's this reality of we know each other, and I know you. You know, if you've spent any amount of time here, I know you at least a little bit. Some of you I know a lot more. Some of you have been with us from the beginning of Emmanuel Grace, and so I know you very well. And so as I'm working through some of this, it's like, ooh, this would apply to that person, and this would apply to that person, and oh, if I say that, that person might take it this way. And so the rule of thumb then is, if you think I'm talking about you, I am. Okay? Not because I think I am, but because the Spirit of God is. On the other hand, if you think I'm talking about you, no, I'm not really. Like, it's this place of, this applies to all of us. And so if you hear the Holy Spirit saying something to you, and if you see it, and if you're wondering, ooh, is he talking? It's not so much that I'm talking about you, but obviously God is ministering something to you. And also, I'm using a lot of pre-addendums, if you will. I'll stare at the ceiling the whole time. No, just kidding. Now I've got you guys worried. It's nothing to worry about. I've shared it before, and I will share it again. I love correction. I seriously do. I love correction. You got to understand that. I don't say that lightly. I love correction. In the moment, sometimes when a correction comes, it's like, yeah, the soul rises up and it goes, you know, kind of thing. But once I calm down a little bit, and even that doesn't happen nearly as much as it used to, because I want to be the man of God that I'm called to be. I want to be the husband that I'm called to be. I want to be the dad that I'm called to be. And even though our kids are, you know, we're gonna semi be empty nesters this coming summer if the visa thing goes through for Jesse and all that. From what I understand, you don't stop being a dad. It's just that the role changes a little bit, you know. But I want to be the best dad. I want to be the best pastor I can be. And so I love correction. I love, and yeah, as I'm working through this, as God was ministering this, he's really ministering it to me too. And so, and again, I don't share that lightly. So I'm sitting right there. It's my chair right there. I'm sitting and I'm talking. I'm, like I said, being a pastor is an interesting thing. You're both shepherd and sheep at the same time. It's really interesting. So anyways, I was having this conversation with someone this week and had this had a variant of this conversation a number of times over the past years. And it's like, we've had this conversation before. And I remember certain conclusions were reached, godly conclusions. So just walk it out. Like, I'm not going to tell you anything new here. And yet I had the honor and privilege, and it really is a privilege to, when someone wants to get together and talk to you about thing, or call you on the phone and talk to you about something, and they want your advice and your help or your counsel or just an ear to listen to you, it's really an honor. And so when someone does that with you, like, just understand the honor that it is, and it's such a privilege, like, to be there for someone. But as I'm listening, it's like, I'm not going to share, like, I didn't say this to the person, but I'm not going to share anything new, but here we go. And you know this already. You know this. Let's walk it out. You already know. Let's walk it out. Without excuse, no giving up, no compromise, no watering it down. Let's walk this out. You already know what it is you need. And I find that for many of us, and especially when we're starting to get in the Word, you know, you encourage people to get in the Word and listen and follow. We already know so much. Like, we have the privilege of having the Word of God in our own language. We have the privilege of listening to preachers and teachers, not just here at Emmanuel Grace, but like online, and over the years we've sat under different teaching and godly teaching. And it's this place of, we already know, actually. And I find that, like I said, I think last week or the week before, like, we already know quite a bit of what God wants us to do and how he's created us. But I'm talking about the principles now that are in Scripture. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered a phrase, and I think I've shared it here before, but I remember a phrase that someone shared with me when I was 18 years old, when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was this phrase of, don't forget in the valley what you've seen on the hill. Because God will show us something. And often it's during times like this, when we're gathered together with fellow believers, when we're worshiping together and the Spirit of God is just ministering, or someone's preaching and it's like, oh, yes, Lord, I need to walk that out. You know, whether it's preaching about how we're supposed to live our lives at work, or loving our neighbor, or loving our spouse, or raising children, or giving, or whatever it is. And the Spirit of God who is in us, right? He's He's like, yes, this is me talking, yes. And we hear it, and we're like, woo-hoo, and we might even write some things down. God's talking to me right now. And we're on this hilltop where it's clear. You know, if you've ever been at a high place, a high point, in a city or in a little area, and you look out, and it's a clear day, we can see, right? We can just see. I love, Andrew and I were driving. Yeah, that's when it happened. When we were driving, I think, out to Hamilton there, and you can see, no, it wasn't that day. Anyways, I was driving, and it was a clear day, and in winter, this happens a lot, right? Sorry. You get what you get, you know. But anyways, in the winter, it's often so clear. The air is cold and crisp, and you can see Toronto as if it's right there. And I was just amazed, actually, looking over the lake, how many buildings have gone up over the years. I hadn't taken a good look, I guess, for a few years, maybe. I don't know. But, man, the skyline is a lot different than it used to be. But it's this place of, wow, is it clear? But then you get the days of summer, when it's hot and hazy and maybe a little bit of, especially in the olden days where some pollution would come from Hamilton and the western breeze would blow it over the lake and you could barely see Toronto at all. Or maybe a good rainfall is going on over the lake and you literally can't see Toronto at all. Or a good snow and you can't see anything. Toronto's still there. Don't doubt that Toronto's there. Toronto's still there. It's just you can't see it. Don't forget in the valley, when we go away from a place like this, when we close our Bibles, when we go to work, when the daily routine starts to take over, when the pressures of the day or the just the cares or the work, all these things start to come in, don't forget what God has shown you. Don't forget what God has said to you, right? Don't forget what he has shared with you, the specifics as well. So maybe, okay, so you're driving and you feel called to pray for Rachel. Okay, that's great. You pray, and you have this time of prayer, this five-second prayer, which is powerful, and praise God, we hear the answer, and it's like, yay. But what about when he says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for someone every day. I want you to get up in the morning and pray, or I want you to spend some time in this, specifically on this thing. And we hear it in this moment of hilltop experience, if you will, where everything's clear, and it's so easy to say yes at that point. It really is, because to say no would be absolute and utter disobedience. You can see it clearly, you know, and you say no. That's why when people saw God's glory in Christ and they still said no, it's almost this place of, there's no hope for you then, because it can't get any clearer than this, right here, right now. This is as like Jesus is the manifestation of God, the physical manifestation of God, the glory of God, and people weren't believing, like the Pharisees and that, and they saw the miracles and they knew he rose from the dead, and it's like it was clear, and yet they didn't believe. So too with us, sometimes when we have that moment of revelation, you know, we use that word, revelation. So it's not just words on a page. It's not just a preacher preaching. It's not just a teacher teaching. It's not just a study book or a morning devotional. It's when you're reading the Word of God, or you're listening to a preacher, or you're listening to a teacher, or you're reading in a devotional book, and the Holy Spirit, it's like that light shines from our inner person, that Holy of Holies, and just shines on it, and oh, like you can almost hear the angels singing, and I get it. Don't forget, once the lights go off, if you will, don't forget on the cloudy days what you've seen on the hill. Was it last week or the week before Morgan brought up James? Right? James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. I want to read that. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. And there's that thing of peace as well. And I love like what Mel, you shared there. And it's this place of, and I'm sure over the years, you've probably heard many sermons on let God, let go and let God. We even have bumper stickers, right? And this is where I've said this many times. The bumper stickers are actually true. But we use them as cliche sometimes. But they are actually, for the most part, not all of them, obviously, not all the Christian bumper stickers are true. But for the most part, they're true. But we need to walk them out. And there's incredible peace when we walk them out. So when the Lord says, you know what, don't be anxious about this. Just give it to me. Just leave it in my hands. Just don't try and control. Don't try and manipulate. And I know those are harsh words, right? But that's what we try to do sometimes. Try and get our hands on someone. Just, and it's, there's no peace in it. There's no peace in doing things our way. But there's peace in God's way. And everyone who is just let God be God and you walk out what you are called to walk out, you'll have a testimony of peace. You'll have a testimony of stillness. Whenever I get a phone call and someone's anxious on the other line, on the other side of the line, I guarantee you, and again, talking to myself here, okay? Talking to myself, because we all do this, but I guarantee you it's because they are not letting go and letting God. And I don't say it as a cliche. I say it as this place of true faith and true trust in the Lord. True trust that you've got this. You're going to take care of this. You're going to watch over this. And I'm not neglecting my own responsibility in it, in saying that. If you call me to do something, I'll do it. If you call me to say something, I'll say it. If you have revealed principles in your word, I will walk it out. You know, for those of us who have kids, right? It's not this place of, well, I'll just let go and let God, you know, God will take care of my kids. Well, in some way, that's true, right? But in another way, it's this place of, yeah, and he'll take care of them through you because he has called you to raise your children in a certain way. He has called you to love on them. He's called you to discipline them. He's called you to speak into their lives. He's called you to teach them as you come and you go. And so as you listen to the principles of God, but not try and control your children, right? It's that middle of the road. You will walk it out in peace. You'll walk it out in stillness. I was reminded of that in my life through a very simple little thing that like Tyler shared with me this week. And I don't even know if you knew that, but man, when you shared when you came home, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and just like, Dad, I know, and you said a little bit more. It was so beautiful because I don't even know if you know it, but it's like God was speaking through you, and it's like God just said. It wasn't anything he did, by the way. I don't want anyone to think that. Like it was just the situation that he's in, and it's like God saying, "Yeah, Kevin, stop it. Just stop it. For his sake, for your sake, just stop it." It's like, yeah. Oh, so good. And I actually just pondered on that for a little while. Now I have to walk it out, though. Right? Because it's not enough to have a revelation. You have to walk out that revelation. I have to choose to walk out that revelation daily, moment by moment. It's not enough to write it in my journal and say, oh, yeah, February 15th, you know, 2019, God said this to me. Highlight it, underline it, draw hearts around it. It's not enough. I have to walk it out. And if I don't walk it out, it shows that I've forgotten. Oh, I haven't forgotten. I got it right in there, right there. I still remember the moment. Yeah, but you've forgotten spiritually, because the way we remember spiritually is by action. If I have a choice between whether I lose my memory, not that I have a choice, but if I have a choice between whether I lose my memory of things like whether I've plugged in the kettle or not, or if I lose my spiritual memory in how I walk out things, I'll choose losing my memory every time. I don't know what I'm going to be like when I get older. I don't know. Like, I really don't. I joke with Carlene. When I get older, I'm going to wake up every morning like, who are you? Man, you're beautiful. But I hope that if that part of my brain does go, I hope that I remember spiritually to love on her, to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle, to be encouraging. Right? I hope I remember what the Lord has been revealing to me all these years. And I'll prove that memory by how I live. Right? I don't want to be a forgetful Christian. I don't want to merely listen to the word and deceive myself. I want to follow what it says. I want to walk out what it says. And I need to, again, walk that out daily. Just a minute there. Like, it's this place of, again, when we're on top of the hill, so say God is revealing something right now to you, right? And you're seeing something. You're seeing how it applies to your life, and you're saying, yes, Lord. And it's so, on the top of the hill, when everything is clear and the air is clear, okay, I'm going to walk that out. It's easy to walk out that day. That's not the problem. It's the days and weeks that follow. It's the weeks and months that follow. It's the months and years that follow. Are we going to walk it out? Is this going to be our life? Are we going to walk this out in our lives? Yeah, Brian. Right.
Yeah, you can write it down, or you can get that revelation that, oh, this is beautiful, yes. But, it's the do it part.
Yes.
It's the do it, and then as you continue to do it, you're just going to automatically do it, like
right.
Putting on the kettle. But it'll just be this beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to walk it out and do it. Okay. So then I want to take it a little further. 2 Corinthians 8. And this is part of the scripture that actually started it out for me, this line of thinking. There was the conversation and then there was a scripture. Not that the content of this, because the content of chapter 8 is Paul is talking about the church, about giving. So please understand, it's not about giving like that. That's not the part I'm trying to bring across. Although if it is the part that God's bringing across, so be it. But that's not the thing. The thing here is in verse 11. I'm going to read verse 10. That's the start of the paragraph, at least in the NIV. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter, meaning the matter of generosity, the matter of giving. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, and this is the underlined part, right? I haven't underlined it. I'll underline it later. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means, okay? But I want to highlight that place of now finish the work. Complete it. Don't stop until you see it completed. And once it's completed, it will continue as well. So God's talking to you about patience, or God's talking to you about sharing, or God's talking to you about, again, raising your children, or God's talking to you about how you treat your spouse, or God's talking to you about giving, or whatever it is. Yes, start the walk, And we start the walk by walking it out. So we don't just say, I agree with this. Praise God, what an amazing revelation. I've never saw that before like this. Or I've seen it many times before, but now I hear the Holy Spirit saying it to my spirit. And it's like this aha moment. That's great. We all need to start. Every journey has a starting point. But don't stop until it's completed. Don't stop until it's fully finished in you. And if you see that it's not finished, praise God for how much has been done in you. Don't beat yourself up, but don't stop until it's finished. Julie?
That's pretty cool because, like, the past two nights I've been waking up at 4:34, and I felt the Lord saying John. So I looked it up. It's when the disciples rejoin Jesus after he was talking to the woman at the well.
Yeah.
But specifically 4:34, he says, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work."
Oh, I love that. It's so true. Yeah.
Anyways, they're so
fun. Yeah, it's so good. To do and then to finish. And it's this place of, okay, so with the Corinthian church specifically, what they were going through is the year prior, they had this on their heart to provide a certain gift, a certain financial gift. And from what we see of the Corinthian church, they were kind of a well-to-do church. They had a bit, and Paul talks to them about other churches, other congregations that are in need, and he's saying, you know what, you supply them right now, and they'll supply you with what you need, and you can give financially, and the Corinthian church really needed spiritual help, so maybe other churches would provide spiritually, and when you're in need financially, they'll provide, and he says it's not that they'll become rich and you'll become poor, it's like that place of ministering to each other and equality and all of that. But it's this place of, again, do you remember that God spoke to you about that? Do you remember? Do you remember when he spoke to you about that? You're not done yet. Oh, but we gave last year, is what the Corinthian church would say. No, yes, you did. That's great. But the work isn't finished. Finish it. See it all the way through. Right? It's not enough to say, well, I had that conversation with my kids once already. I had that. You know, isn't that enough? I talked to them about being nice at school and not talking back to their teacher. Yeah, but they're still talking back to their teacher. And even when they don't talk back to their teacher, you can see the rebellion in them. Talk with them again. Follow through. Be involved. Have those conversations. Get in their lives. Or, you know, with the spouse, we are called to love on each other. We're called to minister to each other. Well, but yeah, when you gave that talk last year, I took her out for dinner. We had a great evening. That's awesome. Has it continued? That's what it's needed. In sharing, you know, God has put Mike on your heart, right? So awesome. I love it when it's not in scripture, but God has put Mike on your heart, right? And it's not done yet. It's so obviously not done yet. Oh, but I went to visit him once, twice, three times, 10 times, 50 times, 100 times. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's great. Is it done? No. All right, keep going. Keep going. Keep ministering. Keep pouring out. Ah, but I don't see anything. Ah, but I don't hear anything. Ah, there's no change. What does that have to do with anything? Walk it out. Keep walking it out. Become who God has called you to be fully and completely. Not stopping. Not forgetting what he has shown you. We so often ask God to speak. Oh, God, speak to us. Oh, God, share with us. He has shared so much already. And I sometimes wonder, is he waiting for us to do what he's already shared with us to do? and then he has more. No, you're the stack on your desk is already this high. I'm not going to put any more on the desk. And so if I do speak to you, I'll just speak to you about the same things I've already been speaking to you about. Walk it out. Live it out. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And might I say, and I don't think that this, I'm not adding to that scripture, but in the context of all of scripture, in the context of the whole counsel of God, I will carry it out in you if you walk it out with me. So many of God's promises are conditional. He's not going to wave a magic wand over us. He's not going to fix. I was talking to him about that yesterday as I was praying. And it's this place of, with the miracles of God, yes. Not that he has a magic wand. But yes, he'll sometimes just pour through us in a miraculous way where miracles will happen. But as far as the things of character and the things of heart and the things of our responsibility, he won't. I don't think ever. That flaw that you see in yourself, or that thing that you've been praying to God about, or again, with our kids, or with our marriages, or with our job, and relationship, and attitude towards your boss, and all these kinds of things. Oh God, I want to have a better attitude towards my boss. He gets me so angry. It's like, oh good, keep praying to that. But I'm not gonna wave a magic wand, have you read a verse, and then it'll just magically be gone. That's not how this works. He will show you the next step to take. He'll show you when your boss talks to you in a cruel way, in an unfair way, I want you to bless back. I want you to bless. I want you to listen, not defend yourself. Ooh, that's a hard one. Keep the mouth closed. Nod your head. Say, okay. Okay, I'm going to try better. Sorry. I'm going to try better for you. Wow. And as we walk out those things, as we just obey God in those step by step, our character is changed step by step. And we grow in the Lord. Another passage that came to my heart as I was meditating on this is Matthew, and it's when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he wants to pray. And so Matthew 26, and the specific verse is 41, but the whole context, if you read it there, and Jesus is praying for what's coming, for the cross, praying, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. Not my will, but your will be done. He asks the disciples to pray, and he asks them to pray for themselves so that they won't fall into temptation. And then the famous verse, right, when he finds them sleeping three times, it's this famous verse of, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's this place of, I want you to pray. And when Jesus said, I want you to pray, I'm sure, I am absolutely positive, none of them answered with, Nah, that's not important. I'm sure they all went, oh, yes, yes, we need to pray. And they weren't doing it in a smart alecky kind of way. They weren't doing it, yes, on the outside, but nah, on the inside. I guarantee that they all looked at each other and said, we really need to pray. Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray. And then they fall asleep. And each time he came, they all affirmed what he was saying. I guarantee you this. It's in between the lines, okay? So it's not scripture, but that's just the picture I get. None of them were against prayer. None of them thought Jesus was out of his mind in asking for them to pray. They all wholeheartedly agreed with the revelation that he was bringing, and yet they all fell asleep. The spirit was willing. Oh, amen, Lord. The worship was amazing. I heard you speak. Amen. Yes, Lord. The spirit was willing, but the flesh is just so heavy and so fat, undisciplined, and it just pulls us down. We haven't beat our bodies into submission. And that doesn't just mean our physical bodies. It means that place of self-control, right? And it just drags us down. The weight of the day sometimes, the weight of responsibility, the weight of our own dreams and our own thoughts and our own stuff, it keeps us sometimes from doing what we know we're supposed to do. For me, sometimes it quite literally is the flesh, the actual flesh. So this morning, 6 o'clock, I hear Carlene's alarm go off, and she's so sweet. She tries to be really quiet because I love her. She's not trying to control me. She knows God has been talking to me about this. But she's not like, hey, Kevin, you need to get up. God's been talking to you about this. You need to get up. Why aren't you getting up? You undisciplined. You need to get up. Don't you want to be a man of God? You know, doesn't talk. She just gets up and does her thing. Leaves me in God's hands. Leaves me in the Lord's hands. And so I know that 6 o'clock for some of you is not an ungodly hour, but for me it is. And at that point, it's like, is the flesh going to win out? I love my bed. I love our blanket. I love my pillow. Am I going to get up or not? I know if I give sleep even a second thought, it's going to win. If I close my eyes and turn over and just say, nah, you know, I'll get up in 10 minutes. It'll be an hour later. Okay, I got to get up. And sometimes I'll be speaking out loud. Okay, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Okay, and then finally my body moves. Obviously some of you have the same conversation. And then in the morning, you know, sometimes our soul then starts joining in with the flesh. Our mind, will, and emotions start to gang up with the flesh against our spirit. And it starts saying to us, but God isn't revealing anything. There's nothing big going on. There's no big aha moment. There's no fireworks going on. If I'm going to get up this early in the morning, there's got to be fireworks. Okay? Because, Lord, I'm sacrificing here for you. There need to be fireworks. Nope, just quiet, calm with the Lord this morning. Drinking my coffee, that elixir of heaven. Just in his presence, reading his word. Prayers are a little bit slower at that time in the morning. I have to read some paragraphs over a few times to get what he's saying in the word. Nothing that I read this morning is in the sermon this morning. Didn't reveal anything for this morning. It was just time with him. I'm not sure what he was ministering. I'm not sure what it accomplished per se. You know, I can't map it out, but I know it accomplished something. Why? Because I was obedient to God. That's how I know. And I never need to know the specifics. If he shows me the specifics, that's awesome. I love that when that happens. You know, so one Sunday, it might be this place of, I read something, and that verse, he reveals something to me, fireworks go off, and it ministers to someone that morning. Amen, praise God, we can celebrate that. But it's not always going to be like that. Sometimes it's just going to be this place of, okay, now pack stuff in the van, and you got to go to church now. Okay, but I know something was accomplished because God called me to it. My flesh is weak, but I want to discipline it and make it more strong. I always thought that was weird. I thought, Lord, shouldn't you have said the spirit is willing and the flesh is strong, like against the Lord kind of thing? But he used the phrase that he used. It's this the place of, again, the flesh is weak. It can't keep up with what the spirit wants to do. It keeps on dragging behind. And everyone, the body, soul, and spirit, they're all tied to each other. And we can only go as fast in the spirit as our flesh can go, if you will. Because we're all tied to each other. It's all one. We're one. I am body, soul, and spirit. And if my flesh is lazy, and if my flesh is against me, and if my flesh keeps pulling that way, it's going to drag my whole person that way. And so I beat my body into submission. I say yes. And again, like I said, our soul, it's kind of on the fence, right? That's where our salvation is being worked out. Sometimes it agrees with God. Sometimes it agrees with the flesh. Sometimes it agrees with God. Sometimes it agrees with the enemy. Are we going to discipline ourselves in our minds? Are we going to take every thought captive, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10? Are we going to say no when our thoughts are leading us astray? No when we say no to the revelations that he has brought us, whether it's through his word or through his spirit? Spirit, what if the Spirit calls you to go visit Mike again today? Right? But I'm tired. So the flesh says, I'm tired. I just want to nap. I didn't sleep that well last night. It's cold out. I don't want to go out in the cold. And maybe your soul says, we just visited him. We don't have to visit him again. We already visited him. I've done my weekly duty. I've done my daily duty. I do more than most people. It's that place of no, you carry on to completion what God has called you to carry out. You walk out what God has called you to walk out. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't handle loosely and lightly the things that God has shown you and given you. Don't be irresponsible with what God has given you. I so often am. God will show me something and I'll handle it so irresponsibly and I'll let it fall to the ground. None of his words should fall to the ground. Every word should be held preciously. Every word, one word from God is better than all the words that have ever been spoken by the world. I don't want to forget. And I don't want my flesh to drag me down. Yeah, often the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Back to the Corinthian church. So then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he goes on to talk about this sowing generously and giving generously. And in verse 7, he says, each man, and this is each person, should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, he's talking about finance. But what I want to point out is, again, this place of when we hear the revelation, when we see what God is saying to us, and we know, like, sometimes we don't know, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about times when we honestly don't know, okay? Don't let the enemy take you there. I'm not talking about, I think that was God, but I'm not sure, because we can't go to visit every single person in the hospital. We can't give to every need that is out there. There are so many needs in this world, so many needs. There are so many mission organizations to get involved in, so many individuals to get involved with, so many good things happening out there. Can't get involved in everything. Can't do everything. Can't say yes to everything. So I'm not talking about when you don't know. I'm talking about when you have that revelation and you know. It's like when Larry was standing right up here a few weeks ago and God was revealing to you while it was coming out your mouth about job opportunity. And he knew, and from what I've heard, some of you knew as well as he was speaking it out. And I love, I've heard a few stories, and I love that you didn't try and control Larry in it. By the way, Larry, this is what I heard. You got to live your life this way. Bah! No, leave him in God's hand. But then that beautiful, oh, what a gift of confirmation then to Larry. As you could say, oh, that's what you decided. Great, that's what I was hearing. Yay. So he knows, and then he has to walk it out. It's not enough to know. It's not enough to have the revelation. You need to walk it out. What if the next week he came in and said, yeah, I start my new job tomorrow? And we'd be all like, what? But last week you said you heard the Lord saying that you're supposed to stay. Yeah, that's what I heard. And I start my new job tomorrow. What are you doing? Well, yeah, that's what I heard God say, but that was last week. Today, when I prayed about it, I didn't hear him say that. Well, what did you hear him say? Nothing. So I took that to mean I could make my own decision. Well, yeah, you can make your own decision. You can always make your own decision. But in that place of revelation, when God is revealed to you, and again, whether it's through the Word, and by the way, you don't need special revelation for what you read in the Bible. The Bible itself is special revelation. You don't need to get all the warm and fuzzies when you're reading it. When you read that you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church, when you read that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, when you read that you're supposed to follow God and obey his commands, when you read that you're not supposed to slander or you're not supposed to gossip and all these things, you're not supposed to chase after riches, you don't need the warm and fuzzies in you or anything happening, fireworks in your spirit or anything like that to follow it through. This is special revelation. Okay, this is the revelation of God. And like Ian used to say, I read it, or God said it, I read it, and that settles it. Or the other way around. I read it, God says it, that settles it. That's it. It's special revelation. It's not this next week then, well, I don't hear him saying anything about it today, so I can decide to go that way. Because if Larry would do that, he and I would have to have a conversation. And again, not out of control. This is out of shepherding. Because I would be really concerned for him at that point. It's like, Larry, you seemed pretty sure that this is what God was saying last week when you shared with the church. Mm-hmm. What gives? Because whenever we choose disobedience, whenever we choose to walk down things that are against what God has revealed, it's dangerous. It's death. And I don't want to be overdramatic, but that's it. It's either life or death. God says, I set before you life or death. Choose. Right? So in 2 Corinthians, in the verse 7 there, chapter 9, each man should give, and I'm gonna replace that word, and again, not I'm gonna apply it to the broader scope of Scripture. Each person should do what they have decided to do according to the revelation, according to what you had decided. So when you're on that hilltop and you see clearly and it's like, yep, I got to go there. That's where God's leading. Okay, then you need to do it. You need to do it. Each one of us should do, and if it is giving, then you need to give what you decided. You need to honor that revelation. You need to honor that decision. You need to honor it. Walk it out. Because receiving it isn't enough. Actually, you know the irony here is? Receiving it without walking it out, it would have been better if you hadn't received it at all. It would have been better if you hadn't heard God's voice. That's a scary thing a little bit. I don't know how it all works out. I'm not going to lose my salvation for that. But I know there's something to it. The fear of God comes on me. That holy fear of God. When he places something in our hands, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. He doesn't speak lightly. He doesn't speak flippantly. Sometimes we do that. But he's not like us. When he shows something, he means it. And when we decide something, we need to walk it out. And again, back to this conversation and other conversations that I've had over the years. And people have come to me sometimes very freely without me prompting them, saying, Kevin, I had this amazing time with God. And I'm like, oh, tell me about it. Yeah. Let's talk about it. I love hearing God's stories, right? God has shown me I'm supposed to do this. Wow. And maybe in my spirit I can confirm it. Sometimes I've not been able to confirm it, and sometimes I've actually heard, no, I don't think that's God. You know, but walk it out accordingly. But when I can affirm that it's God, or maybe it's just a biblical principle that they've come light, like that's come to light in their lives, I'm like, that's awesome! It's like when someone first receives this revelation, like we're seeing in Corinthians here, about giving. When they first receive that revelation, about how blessed it is to give. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, we can so testify to that in our lives, and just the blessing of giving and the blessing of being faithful in giving and all that. Oh, praise God. Yay. So the person talks to me about it, and then whether it, one thing or another, what they're going to do, where they're going to go, the gift that God has given them, that they need to walk out a little bit more, or they need to walk out a lot more. And then it's like, so, what have you been doing with that? We need to walk out what we've decided. So what has God said to you? That's my question. I would encourage you this afternoon, not now, or maybe I don't want to limit it. I don't want to say not now. If God brings it to your mind now, then now, or during worship, or this afternoon. If you don't have a journal or a book that you normally write in, I see some of you do. Write down what you know that God has said to you. What you know that God has said to you. Not what you think and what you're still trying to discern through and all that. Not talking about that. And whether it's the revelation in his word, things that have been made apparent to you and that God has highlighted to you. And again, it's revelation even before it's highlighted. But there are things sometimes, like I've read through the scriptures many, many times, but there's still stuff that I read and it's like, when did that get in there? I don't remember that ever being there. And it's like I've just glossed over it previous times, and yet God has chosen that moment to shine a spotlight on it. Write down what God has revealed to you in the word or in prayer. And think back to, yeah, I remember when I was at this place and I was on that hill and I could see. I was by the shore of the lake and I could see right clear across the lake and I saw where I was meant to go. I write those things down. Have you walked them out? And again, some of the things, many of the things that you're going to write down are things that it's not this place of they'll stop one day. You visiting this person, you that might stop one day. But you loving on Larry, that won't stop, right? That's till death do you part. That's right to the end. And so there are some things that will be momentary, but some things that will be carrying on. The neat thing is, again, back to the whole walk it out until it's complete. So, again, the example of the boss, frustrated with the boss. As you allow God to work in you and change that in you, the day will come where you're no longer annoyed. He or she hasn't changed at all. But you're no longer annoyed. You're no longer fretting. You're no longer anxious. You just have this love coming out you. The work is complete, and now it can just carry on without you even trying. And one day, maybe 2 years down the road, where a little bit of annoyance comes back, it's like, ooh, I thought it was fully complete. I guess it wasn't fully complete, and I need to pray through something again. And we're going to make it. We're going to come to that place of completeness again. You know, of even further completeness. Write down those things. Read them. Pray through them. Stare at them. And commit to walking it out. Commit to fully walking it out. All right. I want to end again emphasizing or reminding you, I'm talking to myself here too. And there's more weight on my shoulders. I'm not just hearing what's being said, I'm speaking what's being said. So I'm getting a double whammy here. You think you're getting a whammy? I'm getting a double whammy. Because there are things in my life. Oh, Lord, you've spoken to me about it 5, 10, 50 times, and I've kind of wandered towards it a little bit and then wandered away from it and then wandered towards. This is not the first time the Lord has talked to me about getting up earlier. And even this time, he didn't just start talking to me about it 3 weeks ago for Sundays, specifically for Sundays. And I think I confessed to you. If I didn't, I kind of forget. partly because of my memory, partly because I forgive myself very easily, actually, and not flippantly. I just, like I've shared with you before, Lord has delivered me from guilt and all that wallowing in it. But I am sure, I am absolutely positive, Emmanuel Grace has missed some things because of my disobedience in not getting up earlier on Sunday mornings. I'm absolutely positive of it. Not because I know any specifics, but because I know that God doesn't call for no reason. And I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Ask for forgiveness. Forgiven. Thank you. And I want to walk out the things that God has called me to walk out. The things that I understand and the things that I don't understand. The things that are like, woohoo, I look forward to this, Lord. Because there are times where the Lord reveals something to you and you're like, yeah, all right, this is going to be good. And there are other things that's like, I don't like that. That's going to be hard. I want to walk it all out. I want to walk out the revelations that he has shown me. I want us to walk out the revelations that he's shown us as a church, as a congregation. I want you to walk out the things that you're called to walk out individually. Oh, God has such a calling on your life. How do I know that? Because there's a calling on all of our lives. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Battle of do this, don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. And I just, if I could just pray, yeah. I didn't even know, I was going to ask if I could do that. I just ask God's blessing on us that we would know his love, that we would see the relationship and choose to enjoy that. That when we're in your presence, God, we would be wooed back there next time, that we would remember that, and that in your presence these things would come true in our life. Our commitments to you, our desires and our plans wouldn't become law, but that they would be the desires of our heart because we love you back.
I agree. This is not about legalism. This is about being faithful and loving on God and being faithful with what he's showing us. And quite frankly, it's everything that he shows us is always for our benefit too. Always. Anything else? Anyone else?
I'm just reminded of the verse, to love God is to obey God.
Yeah, that's good.
So on Thursday, I guess I was working, it was one of my last days of work here this week, and my coworker was talking about, she thinks her daughter's gay, and I don't know what came over me, but we were just talking about our kids, and I said, like, a mom's greatest desire is to see our children happy. And then I'm like, later on, I'm like, Lord, what should I have said instead? Because I know that my greatest desire is to see my children with Jesus,
yeah.
You know. So... You know, I just asked him, you know, what can I say next time? What, you know, can you show me specifically? And he did, and he gave me words. And so I just asked for prayer to walk that out next time. But
cool.
Anyways, the cool thing was I decided I'm not going to let the enemy beat me up for it.
Yep.
And that's, and just going to God and asking him for better words or, yeah, a way to speak his truth in love next time.
Yeah. I think, I don't know where the verse is. Yeah, a little come to the next. I know it's somewhere in the epistles, but there's no greater joy than seeing your children walk with the Lord. That is our greatest joy. Far more than happiness. Everything flows out of it.
I mean, even like the Lord was saying, you know, like specifically saying that will help her see that, like, instead of me saying, oh, you know, homosexuality is no, you know, not right, it's sin, whatever.
Right.
If I can just get across the relationship with Jesus when it's number one. Everything else flows out of it, so yeah. I don't have to be preaching about that.
That's good.
I'm going to try to talk with the candy in my mouth. Anyway.
Wow, that's love. Larry, good for
that's
you.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, for you, that's big time. He held out his hand. He was going to take the candy in his hand. Anyone who knows Larry, that's love right there.
I should have spit it out.
You should have taken advantage of it.
Missed it. No, this morning I was walking, and I was on one of the paths on the farm, and it's quite a wide path, and I was walking in the middle, and all of a sudden I just felt God just kind of saying, like, for me, but I really feel it was actually for us. Even at the time, I was like, oh, it's for us. But he's like, okay, you're walking in the middle of this path. I always want you to stay in the middle.
Yeah.
And I just felt him saying, it's going to get more narrow. Mm-hmm. And so, like, right now we have some leeway to not fall off the path, but mm-hmm. there's going to come a time when there's not going to be much leeway, and it's going to be like we're on a precipice almost. And it's like, oh. So, you know, I just feel this word is for me and for us. Like, oh, let's learn, like let's practice, because the more we do it, I see that in piano. When a student makes a mistake once, even if they don't want to do it and are inadvertently doing it, I'm like, the next time, it's exactly the same mistake. We learn these responses so quickly, yep. It's scary, actually. Yep. But when we start doing the right thing, it just becomes a really great habit.
Yeah,
so.
That's good. Anyone else? All right. So again, homework. I'm not going to check your homework. This is between you and the Lord, but please, seriously, I'm not kidding about it. Write it down. There's something to it. Something to writing or hear, like speaking out, but taking the time to write down what you know the Lord has shown you. And I'm not just talking about last week. There's things that I remember God spoke to me decades ago. That's how I know it's God. I can't even remember things from this morning. But things that you know that you're called to walk out and write them down. And what I would encourage is you keep that list somewhere handy. Everything from, because sometimes we like to think about the big things. Because one thing, for instance, I know is God called us to pastor here at Emmanuel Grace. Now, I don't have to write that on my list because we're walking it out, and we're not tempted to not walk it out. So that's a done thing. Yay! Mind you, one thing along with that is what I shared maybe a few months ago. Tend my sheep. Tend. That word tend. God has brought, and I'm walking it out a little bit better than I used to, but not a lot better than, and there's still more. I need to walk it out better. I need to tend better. Yes, Lord. Okay, yes. I need to write that one down on my list. And then pray through it and look at it and commit to it. I need to do. So whether it's, and what I was going to say is sometimes we think about the big things like the calling in our lives and, yeah, I need to put out that album, that worship album, Craig, you know, kind of thing. just kidding. No, it's this place of I need to get up 10 minutes earlier. God has been talking to me about that. I need to put down the phone and listen to the person in front of me when they're talking. God's really been talking to me about that. I need to be present. Just whatever it is. You know, in anything, at home, in the job, anything, and then pray through them and make that determination to be committed to walking it out completely. Completely. So God, we love you, and just again that verse, he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. Complete these things in us, and I know that you have so much more for us as well. Complete them. May they be complete in us. Thank you for speaking to us. Forgive us for treating your words flippantly sometimes. Cleanse us from that. And show us just again that path. Thank you for not abandoning us, but thank you for how much you love us. And you're a good dad. You're a good father. You're a good God. And we love you. In your name, amen.